Welcome to the Stitch Down Shoecast, where we ramble endlessly about quality footwear, how it's made, and all the things that we love about it. I'm Ben Robinson, founder and editor-in-chief of StitchDown.com, along with my co-host Patrick Gessner, the manager of the Taft flagship in Soho, New York, and Ticho Blanco Shoes on Instagram. Ticho, what's up? What are you wearing?
What's up, Ben? How you doing today? Right now, in my basement, I just had to make a call for what I was going to wear for our first episode, and it was a pretty easy one. I popped on my Viberg by Withered Fig Crust Horse Butt 145 Oxfords. Now, I can see on video that you are in a closet.
I'm in a closet.
What shoes did you put on to walk into that closet?
So the shoes that I put on for this closet are my whites 350 Cruiser MTOs in the Distress Rough Out with a pretty gigantic Vibram 2021 wedge sole on them. I've been wearing these things pretty much constantly for about the 3, maybe 4 weeks that I've had them. And they're starting to get pretty funky. They're great. It's a lot of boot, but just the right amount, and they're feeling good. I'm glad that we're both wearing shoes. It seems important.
Yeah, I was wearing some LL Bean slippers until like 5 minutes ago. I'm not gonna lie.
Those are good. But yeah, I mean, we gotta come prepared. So, yeah. Stitch Down Shoecast. We're gonna cover a lot on this show as these episodes roll on, and we're gonna have some broad themes. We're gonna have some very specific ones, and I think today is gonna be a bit of both. Today we're talking about Indonesian bootmakers and what they do, how you get it, who you should be paying attention to, what it costs. Indonesian bootmakers, I feel like a few of them have been at it for a while, but even a couple years ago, I don't know that they really had what's going on in terms of an American customer being as interested in them as they are right now. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. It's definitely, you've kind of seen some come into the consciousness over the years. Junkert, Sagara, being a couple that kind of, you know, maybe around 2014, 2015, people were talking about online. But I'd say even in just the last year, there's just been, you know, an explosion of people kind of finding these guys and seeing that they're making incredible boots for, you know, an incredible value. And I mean, we've joked before that it seems like we find a new Indonesian bootmaker every single week. I think that's still true. I think I still find a new one every week.
I mean, there are certainly dozens. It's completely within the realm of possibility that there's hundreds of dozens. It's impressive. And I think it's important for everybody to understand a little bit of background on Indonesia and the boots, and that really helps inform, I think, the specifics there. First off, Indonesia is not a tiny little country on the other side of the world. And I think that that's pretty important to point out.
Yeah, it's the fourth largest country in the world. So they basically have the same population.
Most populous.
Yeah, in terms of population. Yeah, they basically have the same population as the United States, which is pretty crazy when, you know, you look at it on a map, it's just kind of a bunch of islands that are, yeah, almost exactly on the other side of the world.
So a lot of feet to put boots on. And Bandung is one of the larger cities in Indonesia, I believe. Hopefully we're going to get some of these things right. But it is, in addition to having a huge shoemaking industry, and that's where a lot of these makers are located, it's also just a fashion capital in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of fashion schools that some of these bootmakers go to. And I think there's a much bigger scene there than a lot of people realize. So that's part of what drives it. I've always been really interested in why people in Indonesia, in a very equatorial climate, are really so into boots. So I actually asked Bagus, who is the self-ordained high priest of Sagara, why that is. And this is what he wrote back to me. So the truth is, boots are actually not that popular in Indonesia. The footwear market is flooded by sneakers right now. But boot culture still has a spot in Indonesia because most of our people ride motorcycles, and we need supportive footwear, and we have about 6 to 8 months of rain per year, and the rain falls almost every day during the rainy season. Nobody wants to have soaking wet Jordans on their feet, I think. Ha ha. He wrote ha ha. So, I think that, like, you know, other things just background-wise on Indonesian bootmakers, they're not really, for the most case, and especially the ones that I think you and I care about, these huge mass production facilities. Some of the best ones range from just one guy in a workshop making these hand-welted boots all by himself, one by one, up to, you know, it seems like 10, 12. Sagara has a dozen people. So their production isn't really super high. The focus on quality is often very, very high. And I think that's a big part of what separates them. Like, there's, you can make an incredible boot in a factory with all sorts of high-tech machinery and a whole lot of people. But there is something a little magical about having a boot that was made start to finish by one person or a couple people and really doing all that handwork.
Yeah. And the fact that everything's being done, you know, made to order, especially, you know, if you're from the United States ordering it, they will occasionally do some kind of stock runs while they'll, you know, make a bunch of kind of basic styles. But for the most part, it's full MTO where you're getting to dictate, you know, thread color, what sole you want, leather. Basically, you can get as weird as you want. And, that's a really important aspect, I think, of it, is that they're, you know, these guys who will do anything that you want, and they'll get as weird as you want or keep it as normal as you want.
Yeah, and I dig the MTO by almost default aspect of it. It forces you to, you know, be creative and come up with something cool. I think it helps push them a little bit to continue to, you know, just want to drive forward, you know, what they're doing in terms of originality or materials or patterns or whatever it might be. I think that it's also, I mean, that's an interesting barrier to entry, right? Like, not everybody is the kind of customer who, you know, wants to sit around thinking up a boot. So in a lot of ways, at least for the time being, I think that Indonesian boots are kind of a purist type thing, and somebody who, you know, who wants to think about it and take the time to, and, you know, the ordering other side of the world, most of them don't really have sites. And if they do, it's not really how people are ordering that I know. So again, there's a barrier to entry there, which can take time. Every once in a while, it could be a little frustrating. You know, sometimes there's a language barrier, sometimes there's not. But I think that's also just part of what makes it cool, right? Like, I think that's what something that people like about it. It makes it very tough to have somebody else have the same boots as you.
I always love wearing my green Underhood Packers. And, you know, they're pretty eye-catching. It's a bright green, like, 8-inch tall boot. And people are like, you know, oh, where'd you get those? You know, and it's like, yeah, no, you have to.
Well, here comes the story.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you got to slide into the DMs of this guy in Indonesia. And like, you can't even really order it right now because he's not even really doing that. So now you have to win a lottery. And I love explaining that stuff to people because it makes me just seem like I'm better than them because I know about this. And
that's important. I imagine you're better than at least like a couple of them.
Yeah, well, I'm really not, but you know, I've got these cool boots, so like I've got that one aspect of myself that is like way cooler and way better than them.
All right, so let's talk about Underhood, because I think that it's safe to say that Rizky Afnan, who runs Underhood and basically is Underhood outside of a couple craftspeople who cut leather for him, and I think he's training up to do a few other things, is probably our shared favorite of the bunch, maybe?
I think that's pretty fair to say. Yeah, he's an incredibly skilled craftsperson who takes an incredible amount of pride in his work. I actually just received two more pairs from him like 2 days ago, and you know, I had this first pair that I ordered a couple months ago. I've had them. I love them. No complaints about them really at all outside of, you know, using the use of like a local Indonesian leather that, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired. But he came back and he said, yeah, I actually wanted to improve the quality of my boots. I've increased, you know, the thickness of my midsole. I'm using a more robust welt. And these were things that he didn't need to do. You know, his boots were already an incredible value, incredible quality, entirely made by hand, very neat stitching. But this is a guy who really cares about it, who really cares about the products that he's putting out. And he took it upon himself to get better materials. And the boots that I received are, I mean, they're absolute tanks. These things are built to a standard that I think you'd be satisfied paying twice as much for. So that just goes to show what kind of guy you're dealing with at Underhood.
All right, so let's talk about the new ones that you got and, you know, what they are, what they cost. And they're not the local Indonesian leather, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So for the first pair, I didn't really have any experience with him outside of Instagram and looking at his stuff and saying, wow, this stuff looks awesome. He came recommended to me by Lars from Usmo Boots, who is someone who also really cares deeply about the quality of the boots that he's making. And, you know, for him to say, hey, this guy is making absolutely killer boots, was like, all right, well, I got to take a look at this. But so for the second round of pairs, I kind of knew that he was going to get kind of blow up and have his, you know, his order queue stretch out for years or something. So I was like, all right, let me sneak in two orders before he, you know, gets too overwhelmed here. And let's do some imported leathers, do something, you know, the level of craftsmanship supports using, you know, much more expensive leathers, making it a more expensive boot, but these leathers are gonna age better. They're more interesting. They kind of fit better with the level of craftsmanship that he's putting in the rest of the boot. So for the first pair, wanted another pair of engineer boots. Nobody really makes an engineer boot, at least like a good one, in that kind of mid-tier range. So for $500, $550, he comes back for black Horween Chrome XL. Got it on a Vibram 430 sole, like kind of a half sole, Woodsman heel, the whole thing. Really great detailing.
I love the shelf on the back of the heel.
Oh yeah, he really goes for it.
He's got a hell of a shelf.
Yeah, this guy knows his way around a shelf. Yeah, we'll forget Elf on a shelf. We need Risky on a shelf. Yeah, these things are killer, man. I haven't really worn them yet. I tried them on the other day just to make sure that they fit. They fit perfectly. So for the second pair, I've wanted a pair of Shell Cordovan service boots for a long time. Mostly was looking at Viberg. At $1,300, I don't think I was ever going to pull the trigger on that. So I said, all right, well, let's see what Risky can do. So he came back and he said, look, I can get this shell from this tannery in Italy. It's called Conseria Clo, I believe is how that is pronounced. And I was like, yeah, I've never really heard of that. But so I started asking around to some guys who are leather workers that I know. And they were like, yeah, no, they actually make like killer horse hide, killer horse butt, like really cool stuff. And I looked at their Instagram and found that they do this crust shell. So it's like completely undyed. It is, it's almost, it's not quite the ghost shell.
The Lofgren's that Standard and Strange did.
Yeah, it's not quite that white, but it is so light. And you can see like I can see why people don't want to use a really light shell like this, because it really does pick up any little ding, any little mark. But none of that is going to bother me, because I'm going to wear these things pretty hard and I think they're going to patina super well. So yeah, it's a double row stitch down, perforated cap toe, service boot. It's got like a brown Dr. Sole super grip. Sole.
I have to get one of those. I have the, we'll get to mine, but I have the Dr. Sole's white wedge on my Lowe's from Underhood, and I think it's great. So that super grip has got to be for real, for real.
Yeah, the super grip is great. It is kind of like a neocork sole, kind of similar to what you see on like an Alden Indy, but the pattern on the bottom gives it an excellent grip. For walking around anywhere, you can like feel how grippy it is. It's awesome. It's a great sole. I'm super into Dr. Soles. I think more places should be using those.
Yeah, Dr. Soles is coming hard onto the scene. It's a good doctor, not to be confused with Dr. Scholes, which I think is an easy bit of confusion to have.
It's unfortunate. Those are, I didn't even connect that, but those are very similar names.
So yeah, they're great. I mean, I need to actually see those two suckers in person. They're ridiculous. Your green boots are, they're not really for me with the Packard toe, but they are just wonderful. So yeah, on my side, it was, I mean, I think we have the same story. I was checking them out on Instagram. And then I interviewed Lars from Osmo and I asked him, you know, who did he think was doing great stuff? And he might have said Viberg, and then he's like Underhood. And I was like, okay. You know, with that seal of approval, I just continued to look deeper and deeper into them. Reach out to Risky, I think, the next day. We started talking and, hey, look, tell me about yourself. You know, can we, you know, let's figure out how to let more people know about this. And, you know, commissioned some stuff. So I got a pair of his LCV01 lows in like a really light rough out, which are kind of like a low lineman shoe, and on the Dr. Soles. And they're fabulous. They're incredibly comfortable. Those, I think that you got these without the foam insole pad. Is that correct?
So my first pair that came in, you know, I think you got your pairs came in basically the same week, and we met up in New York to fondle each other's boots. And
oh my God, what a good day of fondling.
Oh, so much fondling. And I think we had the same reaction of like, where's this foam coming from? You know, why, this is incredibly unexpected. It wasn't, you know, anything we just had discussed with him or not discussed with him, but it wasn't what we expected to find on this boot that, you know, we're thinking, oh, it's being, you know, laboriously handcrafted by this, you know, by this guy in Indonesia. You know, I don't really have a problem with it. It's fine. It is pretty comfortable. I asked him, why did you put foam in these, you know, handmade boots? And he was like, yeah, well, I want them to be comfortable. This is kind of what people are expecting. People are very used to wearing sneakers, and you basically, I think modern feet look for, you know, more of a foamy feel when kind of defining something as being comfortable. Whereas, you know, someone who is wearing boots all the time is looking for sort of that leather insole, you know, right on the bottom of your feet is really what I'm looking for, what my feet are used to. So for these two pairs, I said, hey, just skip that. Skip the foam, just, you know, give me the leather insole under there. And, you know, I haven't really worn them, so I can't really comment on if it's different or better or worse, whatever, but they felt very comfortable.
Wear the damn boots.
So I think it's going to be fine.
So yeah, I'm really interested to hear, you know, what those are like. I'm sure that, you know, they're going to be good. But yeah, that was really the only knock on mine. My other pair also had them, which is the LCV01. I will say that he could, you know, his names aren't exactly poetry for his boots, but I remember them, so I guess it's effective. Highs, you know, I guess they're 6 inches, maybe they're 7 inches, and they're in a local Indonesian smooth pull-up leather. Those are on a Vibram 2060 wedge, and they're great. And really, you know, when I put this in my story about Underhood, that if you can talk to Rizky and really any of these Indonesian makers and just probe around and see what they have in terms of non-local leathers, and I don't want to, you know, sit here and bash the Indonesian tanneries, but there's really good European stuff. They can get their hands on Horween. You know, I'm working with Rizky on a different American tannery to supply some leather for a collaboration boot that we're going to have that I can't reveal right now. But I mean, that's the one thing. And, you know, like, look, we have a couple pairs of boots, both of us, and in a lot of really nice leathers. So it's something to get used to. But long term, I have not in the least been unhappy with the Indonesian leathers. And, you know, at least at the time, I mean, both of them were under $300, which is pretty crazy for like a beautifully patterned hand welted boot that's finished as well as it is. But like I told him, I said, I think your boots just deserve the best leather in the world because you're doing ridiculously good work. So, you know, focus on that. And, you know, guess what? A bunch of people are going to be asking you for it. So figure out how to get it. And yeah, and I think in the time from, you know, when we both got returned on to Underhood by Lars and started getting stuff from him, and you know, like I got mine and did a review of them and kind of gave some guidance on how you should handle ordering and what to think about. I mean, he's gone just completely crazy. And I think that he was booked up 4 months out or 5 months out and had hundreds of DMs that he didn't have time to respond to. And this is where, like, he is just a very wonderful and caring man. And I think that he, like, cares a dangerous amount to, like, his personal mental health about these boots and his customers. And I think it was starting to drive him crazy a little bit. So he stopped his orders and then he opened them back up about a week ago with a lottery system. And I think a couple hundred people put their names in, and you know, he's making 30 pairs of boots for them. And then he's going to do that again. So, you know, if you're interested in Underhood, like, good, and just, you know, continue to pay attention to his Instagram. That's where he's communicating with everybody. Don't send him DMs and then be upset when he's not getting back to you, because I think he's done a pretty good job of announcing his new system. But, you know, there's just a lot of interest. And like, if you got to wait, you got to wait. And value wise, you know, you're probably, it's very difficult to see how anybody would be unhappy with them, even with the value component. We should probably talk about other Indonesian bootmakers too, but wait, what did the Shell ones, what was the price on those?
Oh yeah. So the Shell ones, it's Concert Close Shell. So it's not Horween Shell, but I would say my initial impressions of it are that it's, you know, it's really interesting. It's such a light color, has kind of an interesting finish. And those were, those ran me 700.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Bargain.
So you're still cheaper than Alden, and it's, you know, cool shell handmade. So yeah, let's get to some others. We mentioned Cigar and Bagus, the Priest of Cigara. I learned the other day, because somebody commented on one of my posts, Bagus, but I was like, oh, they tagged him, but they didn't tag him. And so I was like, well, I need to investigate this. So I Googled it, which is how you investigate things. Apparently his name means very nice in Indonesian, which really fits. He's a great guy. Always talking to him on Instagram about something. He's like responding to my stories about random boots that I'm posting and telling me how he likes them and all sorts of stuff. Another reason I really dig Bagus is because on his, so there's a Cigar Instagram, which you should follow. And then there's his, there's not as many boots on there, but it's still pretty fun. And in his bio description, he has a quote from Nas: I never sleep because sleep is the cousin of death. So represent Nasty Nas in your area.
One other thing on our guy Bagus, he has one of the most beautiful Dobermans that I've ever seen. And
oh yeah,
he's often posting pictures where it's like chasing him on a motorcycle, or like he's just chasing it around. And I love all that stuff.
It's a hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I haven't posted a picture of my dog Frank in probably weeks because he refuses to stand still. But if you ever do see him, you know, shout out Frank. He's a good guy. Very handsome.
I will shout out my dog Mika, who might know is my Instagram avatar. He's sitting here being very quiet, and he's a good dog. Good boy.
Wait, I thought he was a wolf. Or a fox? I thought he was a fox.
Well,
is it not a fox?
It's a dog.
It's a dog.
It's my dog. Yeah.
This is a twist.
Yeah. My Instagram avatar is just a picture of my dog's face.
It seemed like a fox. Huh. Okay. Well, we'll figure out the truth of that eventually. Back to Cigar. Like I said, I think they have 11 or 12 bootmakers. They're doing all the hand welded stuff. I also got some numbers from them. Domestic leather prices, 200 to 300, imported 350 to 450, and Shell, which is, I don't know if they have the Clo or if it was, what were they working with?
Probably like Rokado.
Yeah, Rokado, 6 to 750. So pretty in line with these, considering that you're listening to a boot podcast, you understand that these are actually affordable prices. They have a site. You can order through their site. Again, you know, the real recommendation is cook something up, get into a DM conversation with them or WhatsApp, and just kind of go for it. I have a pair that I was hoping would be here by the time we did this, but you know, let's there's a pandemic, of their Cordmasters, which is like their lineman monkey boot. I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited about them. I fell in love with a couple pictures of their veg tan, just like incredibly worn, beaten boots. It was clearly one of the cigar guys' boots, maybe Bad Goose's, and said, all right, I got to have these. Yeah, they're not here yet, but I'll definitely talk about them on an upcoming podcast. Yeah, they do cool stuff. They do a mean boondocker, which I feel like is a little bit overlooked. It's just really, really clean. They do some great shoes, like some derby shoes, and you know, a lot of their stuff and in their imagery, it's all very military inspired, and you can feel that in especially a lot of the shoes. You know, I'll know more when I get mine, but I'm prepared to be impressed.
Yeah, I think for me, looking at Sagara, their real strength is their patterns. They make just really excellent, well-proportioned patterns. One of my favorites that they do, it's kind of like a U-tip, but then you go and it's got that, you know, kind of swoopty going back. You know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, great swoopty. Right, like an evergreen Galway swoopty.
Right. Swoopty, I believe, is the technical term for that.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But yeah, they make some really killer stuff. And I've been looking into getting a pair, mostly because I just like talking with Bagoose, who seems like a gem, but also because of their great patterns.
Love them. So you're the Benzene guy. You've got those Wax Flesh Chelseas. I've tried them on. They're honestly really impressive. But yeah, tell me a little bit about Benzene.
So Benzene,
I'm not sure.
I mean, Benzene seems like how I would say it here in New Jersey. There's like accents on it. If you look at like the box or on their logo, there's like an accent over the first E and like the I. So I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that
means. That's tough. On a 2-syllable word.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. So Thanksgiving 2019, I've eaten just an immense amount of, you know, turkey, mashed potatoes. I've hit the desserts twice. And I'm sitting down, I'm scrolling through Instagram, and I see that they're running a 15% off sale. Benzene. It is Black Friday sale, I guess, because it was already Black Friday in Indonesia, right? And I'd been looking at their stuff a little bit, and he had posted this Wax Flesh Chelsea that I thought looked just killer. You know, not a real sleek Chelsea, but like a really nice kind of meaty, kind of chunkier Chelsea. And I was like, yeah, let's see what that's going to run out to, you know, with the 15% off. So I slide into his DMs. I'm like, hey, what's this going to be? It was like $260 regular price. Take 15% off. It was like $220. I'm so in a coma. I'm not even really, I'm like, yeah, just do it. Just do it. Wax Flesh, throw it on, you know, throw on a Dr. Soul, half soul, just do that. I didn't even really think about it very much, to be perfectly honest with my ordering process on that pair. But then they showed up and I was like, just completely blown away. I mean, for $220, these things are packing a huge punch. The finishing was excellent along the welt, the edges, everything was super clean. The Indonesian local Wax Flesh, pretty solid. I've walked in creeks. I've, you know, spilled seltzer on them.
Seltzer.
I drink a lot of seltzer.
You literally use seltzer to clean things off of things that are dirty.
Yeah, that might not have been a good example, but like, I'm trying to, you know, be truthful and you know, tell a real story where I'd love it if it was like, I spilled red wine on it, but nah, man, I'm over here drinking seltzer. But yeah, man, these things are great. I know a lot of other people ended up ordering Chelseas from them. And some people, if you have like thinner ankles, if you're like a thin ankled gentleman, you know, he can like adjust the pattern to make it tighter along your ankle. I know at least one of my friends has real thin ankles. He knows who he is. And yeah, they were just like flopping around. But for me, I have normal ankles, like a normal man, and they fit great.
And they turned them pretty quick, right? I feel like they do good turnaround.
Yeah, they're cranking them up pretty quick. I think they have, it's more than just a one-man operation. Don't know exactly how many people they have working there, but they've got probably like a half dozen. And then, yeah, it was basically like 4 weeks from ordering to, because I ordered them on Thanksgiving and I got them, I want to say like the week after Christmas.
That's smooth. Yeah, and they do, you know, I'd say they're somewhat less creative than some of the Indonesian makers, but like the patterns are clean. I feel like they're just out there executing. So yeah, I think I need some benzines. In terms of somebody who's really creative, Texture is one of my favorites, TXTURE. They just go for it. They have some more straightforward stuff, just some plain toes and whatever. But a lot of their stuff is just, it's just so out there, but they kind of just nail it. They make this, I think it's called their Victory Boot, that is a long wing boot, which is a really, really tough pattern to pull off. Like, you don't even see them. And my buddy has a pair of Trickers long wings from, 7 or 8 years ago that Trickers did with Graham Fowler in New York, and they're killer. And I've been obsessed with them, and you just never see them. So they have those. And then one of my other favorites is their boots that are, they basically seem like LL Bean bean boots, with the kind of duck boot look, but the whole vamp is, it's stitched and it's like all sorts of different leathers. Like, they're wild. I know Mark Albert has a pair of those. He got really excited when he got them and sent me a lot of pictures, and like, he digs them a lot. So yeah, texture is cool. You can get stuff from them as cheap as $150 for local leather, $300 for kudu. I'm not 100% sure that it's CF Stead kudu, but yeah, texture is definitely, definitely, definitely worth checking out, I'd say. We both got some boots from Junkard. I haven't worn mine yet.
I wore mine.
I think you just got yours on.
I wore mine yesterday. Yeah.
You got some swoopty boots from Junkard, right?
I do. Yeah. Again, that's the technical term, a swoopty boot. Yeah. It's a natural veg tan, basically Edward Green Galway style boot. You know, I didn't really know what to expect. You know, Junkard, I've seen some really cool things. I've seen some, you know, some things that were like a little, you know, not as well executed in terms of like pattern. These came out, I'm super happy with these. I wore them all day yesterday. Really comfortable, like one of the most lightweight boots that that I've ever handled. And
in a good way?
In like a good way. I mean, they're just, you can overload a boot just to make it really heavy and like throw a steel shank and all sorts of other stuff in there just to make it feel really heavy, which, you know, is great and a sign of quality. But I think being able to execute something that's really lightweight, but still really well made and well crafted and is going to last a long time, you know, I think is actually really difficult. And I think they just knocked it out of the park with this pair. And it's going to be a lot of fun wearing them in, seeing how they patina, seeing how they age. Yeah, I kind of didn't have super high expectations for them, and they've vastly exceeded them.
Nice. I got to get mine on. I got some of their monkey boots. They have a couple patterns. I'm honestly not sure which one mine are called. I just sent them one of their own pictures, said, let's do this, in Badalassi Carlo veg tan leather. They're still sitting in the box. I got to get them on, but they're cool. They're a very, very interesting shade that I think a lot like yours. If I get a bunch of wear on them, that's when they start to become what they're supposed to be. So yeah, I'll get some pictures up on the Instagram soon and everybody can check them out. And I just gotta get them out on the streets. Last one that I think is, you know, worth mentioning in a bigger way, and we could literally do this forever with the Indonesian bootmakers, is Winson, who's definitely different. They are definitely one of the top Indonesian, or at least known in the US Indonesian kind of dress shoe makers. They do some boots too. Really, really nice stuff. And cool thing about them is that they'll actually do remote bespoke with you. And a buddy of ours has, you know, been in that process for months and months, and they're sending him over sample pairs and like really, really working these things. And I think he sent us a picture of like the almost finished shoes the other day, right?
Yeah, he popped that into the Discord. I think they actually ended up sending him two trial pairs, which is like kind of crazy. And even the trial pairs look pretty good, look pretty clean. Yeah, he's saying fit was dead on, which is honestly pretty impressive to do a bespoke fitting from halfway across the world. So
it's crazy.
So yeah, hats off to Emil with Winston, who seems like he's doing a killer job over there. And yeah, he once in a while will drop like a boot or something, and they look absolutely killer. So
they're cool. It's a great option because so many of the Indonesian boots are like, they're rugged. Like I think of Indonesian boots, and you know, I'm working on like an Indonesian monkey boot showdown. Like that to me is what I see them as. They definitely make killer service boots. They do good shoes. But it's great to have Winston out there who's doing just something that's a little dressier. Just others to mention that everybody should take a look at. Prof Barnett's, who I think that you have a pair of, or know you have a pair of. I don't think that you got them right here.
Yeah.
Just hold them up to the camera for the podcast audience.
There you go. I'm holding it up.
But haven't gotten them on yet, so we can get back to those in the future. Santaloon, which has been around for a while and definitely a known quantity. I don't have any experience with them. Renav, who also does some pretty funky stuff. Renav Goods Co. on Instagram. Imperium, Hidalgo, Monroe Heritage, Panama Heritage, Tahura, and one that I'm definitely going to botch a name on, Cabiaz. They do some pretty wacky stuff in, I think, a good way, if that's what you're looking for. So there's the Indonesian boots. Now you know everything. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back on the Stitch Down Shootcast. And we're back. Stitch Down Shootcast. Every episode of the Stitch Down Shootcast, until we decide to completely change our minds, we are going to have kind of a main theme that we go over. This one, in case you somehow fast forwarded to this part, which would be weird, was Indonesian boots. But we're going to tackle all sorts of very, very, very different themes in the first half. In the second half, it's the shoe bag. So every week we're going to open up on Instagram, on @StitchDown, the ability to ask us some questions, anything you want to know about shoes, boots, leather, whatever, and we will do our damned best to answer them. Hopefully we deliver on that. We got some great ones this week. There was just a flood of questions. Everybody keep them coming in. And they're all honestly really, really good, including the one that said, "Hi, Stitch Down," with a smiley face, which wasn't even a question, but I liked it. First one, do you guys keep unused shoes and boots in boxes and, fittingly, shoe bags?
I do not. So one thing about me and my shoes is that I like to kind of experience and interact with my shoes. So I have this kind of setup down, kind of work from home setup down here in my basement in kind of a workshop area. And so I took this like tool bench and I've just turned it into basically a boot display. Yeah, just everything's out in the open. And so I can see it, so I can feel it. So when I decide what I'm going to put on, I can just kind of, you know, go with my gut and look at all my beautiful boots.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I want to see them when I wake up. I want to see them when I go to sleep and walk around the house. And they're all, I mean, apartment, and they're pretty much everywhere. I mean, some are in boxes just because it's a better storage solution. And that's actually bad because you kind of forget about them. And as far as bags go, you know, if I travel, they're going into bags for sure. It's very, very difficult to travel even for like a 2-day trip with fewer than 3 pairs of shoes and boots. So, you know, keep them protected in the bag. You know, if they get dusty, sure. But, you know, you just brush it off.
Yeah. I always brush before I put my shoes, put them on. So
you're more dutiful than me. I mean, if they seem like they need it or, you know, you notice something on them, I'll get them. But yeah, I mean, I should probably get into the habit of, you know, the old Mac method. I'll get there. All right. This is a tough one. Chamois or snuff suede?
That's tough.
This is a stumper.
Personally, I think suede is like super underrated. I think people think of it as being this delicate thing that you can't, you know, you can't get it wet. You can't, you know, do anything to it. Oh, what are you going to, how do you protect it? You got to spray it with a ton of stuff. I'll just put on some suede loafers and go and in rain or whatever, and you're always good to go. I think suede is way more durable and rugged than people give it credit for. And if it gets a little beat up, I think that works for it too. So yeah, I'm taking snuff suede. And it's a great color, great shade.
It is. It's kind of the perfect color. My Alden Roy boots from Context Clothing. I actually have 2 pairs. One's in brown CXL, and the other's in the snuff on a leather sole. Those are 2 of my favorite pair of boots all time. I mean, part of it is a little bit nostalgic because I got them both when I was just kind of getting into this. But yeah, it's perfect. And like, I've never touched them. I actually have a good story about dropping something on them. I got them, and the first day that I had them, I wore them, and I wore them over to my buddy's house in the middle of the summer, and of course, and he was having a barbecue, and I dropped like an entire plate of ribs onto the boots. and somehow they only picked up one spot. And I was like, what do I do with this? So I went out and got some of the Saphir suede cleaner. And I think before that, I actually took them to a cobbler. I was like, can you get this out? He's like, I can't guarantee it. It'll cost $70. I was like, I don't know about this. And it's still there. And so that day I was like, I'm never cleaning these boots again because I'm just going to cover up this huge rib mark. And they look great. I absolutely love them. It feels great. Like, I think they look better. They're like, I mean, they're Alden boots. They're not technically Boondockers. And, you know, it's a kind of finer leather than like the more hardcore rough outs that you'll see on a traditional Boondocker. But that's kind of what I feel like they are. But they're like dressy Boondockers. I mean, I can't say enough about Snuff. I want some Alden Leisure Handsones and Snuff Suede and, you know, that. And my Color 8 LHSs are probably the only two pair of loafers I ever need. So it's great. That said, I just got a pair of Earth Reverse Chamois kind of, you know, jumper boots, like perforated cap toe Aldens from Judd Frost Clothiers in Twin Cities, Minnesota. And that's actually my first chamois pair that I've owned. And it's pretty great. Like, at first, like wearing them, my experience with Alden boots is you put them on and they're the most comfortable things you've ever worn. And it's just kind of crazy. These ones aren't. Like, it's a tougher, hardier leather. But I've worn them probably about 7 or 8 times now, and they're really starting to loosen up. And I mean, the texture's great. You can put them through anything, but they still feel dressy. People are bringing it with these questions. It's basically an impossible question. For now, I'm going with the classic Snuff.
I mean, I've got room on my shelf here for a chamois rough out pair from Alden, Viberg, whoever. Looks great. Great texture. Really, it's like super oily, right? So it's really, really good for,
it's like, it's a heavy, good for bad weather. Heavy oily. Yeah, you can wear it in the rain. I don't know. Check back with me in 6 months when I really put these things through it. All right, another care question. How do you get water spots out of Shell Cordovan?
So I was actually just doing this last week on a pair of Color 4 Shell Vibergs.
Those are insane, secondhand. By the way. Those are, my God.
It's, yeah, they're awesome. They showed up. You know, some water spotting. I think the guy was from Mississippi or something. Possibly just lived in the river. I don't know. And so my method, take a really damp rag, just like a soaking wet rag, and just go to town wiping them down. And I think the kind of thought process behind that is that, you know, the water spots kind of accumulate from the water, not just hitting it, but also kind of evaporating. So it leaves, you know, whatever else is in the water. You know, the calcium or lime or whatever else is in water. I don't really know what's in water. Hydrogen, I'm assuming calcium and lime.
Hydrogen and oxygen.
Well, I know that, but like, you know, in New Jersey, when it rains, it's not just water hitting you. You know what I mean?
Whatever happened to acid rain? Nobody talks about that anymore.
No, we're really off the acid rain. We should bring that back. Actually, no, because acid rain would probably mess our boots up. So
okay, let's keep call acid it off.
Rain. Yeah, let's keep acid rain where it is. So get it super wet. All right, so get the boots really wet, then let them dry off, which, you know, takes a couple hours or whatever. Then I took some Venetian shoe cream, VSC, and applied that pretty vigorously with an old undershirt and let that dry like overnight. Then brush it forever. Just don't stop brushing. And they're mostly gone.
I've had the same level of success with same process pretty much in Saphir Renovator. They're, you know, as far as I know, they're very similar products. But yeah, the real trick is you can't start brushing immediately. You got to let it sit. And you're so tempted. You're like, you're in the mode and you want to see them all fresh and shiny. But yeah, you got to let that stuff do its work. I think that's the biggest tip right there. Next question. What is the best USA made work boot that won't break the bank? I'm going to take this one because I love my Thorogood Moktos. They're very, very early grab for me in the whole boot game. You know, I was looking at Red Wings, found Thorogood. They're cheaper. They're great. I think you can find them on sale for under $200 a lot of the time. They also make a nice round toe, which I considered. They have a big foamy padded insole. So they're a little different than the rest of the boots that I'm used to. but it's incredibly comfortable. And in I've had them for 6 years, maybe. The insole is still good. You can order a new one. At first, they were I was like wearing them around, and then I started using them for like work stuff, and they got pretty beaten up. You can freshen them up. At this point, they're pretty much for just destroying and walking Frank the dog. But I love them. Can't recommend enough. Made in the USA. Seidel leather, I think. And yeah, I mean, they get it done, and I think they're damn handsome, personally. Some people like to cut the tags off. I keep my little USA tags on there. Represent.
Yeah, got to represent. 100%.
All right, couple more here. How many pairs of boots do you really have, and how many does your wife think you have? I'll say I know who sent this question. It was my sister, who's obviously trying to blow me up to my wife. So thank you so much, beloved sister. I'm going to throw this one to you, though, Ticho.
Well, it's an easy answer, and that is I don't know. If I had to go around and count them, it would take the better part of a day, and I'd still probably miss them. I mean, I've forgotten about pairs for months and found them in bags or in my garage. You know, at some point it gets a little unwieldy. So yeah, I have no number, and the number my wife thinks it in, she probably has no idea either. So yeah, we're in alignment on that, at least.
Same answer. Same answer. The number is the exact same, though, for me. The number that I have and the number that my wife thinks. They're completely aligned. Okay, this is another really, really tough question. This is actually from Bagus from Sagara. What's your favorite ice cream?
This is an easy one for me. I'm a huge mint chocolate chip guy. Turkey Hill is like my favorite one, but I will buy whatever one's on sale. Mint chocolate chip. What about you?
So there's a lot of ice creams I love, and there's some range. I love it when it's just shoved full of just like candy, basically. I'm in no way a classy ice cream guy. Where I live in Brooklyn, Ample Hills Creamery does an incredible job of that. And their ooey gooey butter cake is arguably my favorite ice cream of all time. It's just ice cream to me is perfect when there is not an equal amount of ice cream to other stuff that's added, but it's actually like 75% stuff and 25% ice cream. And they have just committed to that really, really hard. And I love them for it. However, my favorite readily available ice cream is the Magnum Double Caramel Mini Bars. I mean, there's a lot of ice cream in there. I'd say it's 90% ice cream. But there's this double layer of milk chocolate around the outside with caramel in between. And every bite, you get all of it. And the mini bars are nice because you don't feel like you're absolutely killing yourself with them, even though you usually end up having two or three. And they're available at many, many fine grocery stores and even not fine grocery stores, I think.
Man, I could not disagree more with your take on ice cream. I can't just eat some candy then. Like, ice cream should be this cool, cold, like creamy treat, not have all these big chunks in it. You know what I mean? It just throws off the whole mouthfeel.
Well, let's agree that I'm correct. So, final question. When will this all be over? I presume that is in relation to the aforementioned pandemic, and I don't really have a great answer for that. If it is, however, in reference to this very podcast, the answer is right now. So that's it for the first episode of the Stitch Down Shoecast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get your podcasts. Follow Ticho on Instagram at Ticho, T-I-C-H-O, Blanco, B-L-A-N-C-O, shoes, and Stitch Down at Stitch Down. And check out stitchdown.com for shoe and boot reviews, interviews with industry titans, profiles, and histories, our weekly shoes and boots of the week release roundup, and plenty more. We'll see you next time. Take care of your shoes.